This is Robert Decker. You are listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, the multifamily fitness podcast brought to you by the team here at RMS Fitness. We're all back together here under one roof, under one roof here at RMS HQ. Happy to be here with another exciting episode. Joined today, as always, directly across from me, we're making awkward, prolonged eye contact right now as we speak.
We are.
Lil Wipey.
What's going on, Steve?
Not much. How are you?
I am doing good. I am excited that it is the weekend. It feels like it's been a busy couple of weeks. We haven't all been together.
It has been
for a podcast.
A couple weeks.
For a few weeks now. So it's nice to have the gang back together.
Yeah, it is nice to be all back together. We'll get back to what you've been up to here in just a minute. Across the table on my left, Steve, been there and done it all. Adio. What's up, brother? How you doing?
What's going on, man? It's good to be back at the table at the studio here. And yeah, it's been a crazy week. Been a very busy week.
Yep. Right back there in your participant chair where you belong. Now it's good to be back with you, buddy. Fearless leader Robert Decker to my right. What's up, big buddy? How are you?
I'm good, Steve. The energy's definitely in your corner today, but I'm going to try my best.
It's spring, man. Look outside. There's
spring sun. Has sprung.
The last time I thought it was nice outside, it's because the building across the street was on fire. Now it actually is because it's a nice day outside.
Yep.
No, it's beautiful. The sun is bright. I'm happy. I've had a busy couple weeks. You know, I've had some life events come my way, some things to put some things in perspective. I had a child of mine who spent some time in the hospital for a few days. So the reason why my energy is high is because all these days seem really good right now, just back here doing my normal things. So I'm very grateful for all of that. Grateful to my friends here. I'll take this moment at RMS just to thank my people at RMS for holding down the fort while I was gone for a couple days. It's great, and I'm grateful for a team and a family that I know I can depend on that way. So thank you all for that. And I'm glad to be back here with everybody now.
It's good to have you back,
Steve. Good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you, guys. So speaking of being back, y'all are back. What'd y'all get up to this week and maybe possibly last while we were all gone and away?
Well, last week we took a trip out, we being myself and Robert's family. We went out to Colorado, my first time, for last week for the season of snowboarding and skiing, and that was terrific. I mean, you know, just one of those experiences for me that you grow from it and you come back and you're excited that you got through that week and your body got through that week. And
yeah,
it was just really, really cool, and I was excited that I was a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. United States is a really big place, and people assume that if you're here, you've kind of seen it all and done it all, and you know, if you've lived here, you know, why wouldn't you have seen it? But there's so many places that I still haven't been to Denver, especially not the part. I have been to Colorado, but not to the area that you guys were at, and that is a place that's on my list for sure. Robert, you had some comments about that online. You made a comment about the trip, and I think you said the views were shocking or breathtaking or something like that, right?
I think all the above, Steve. Let's see. We got out there, and well, actually, it's interesting that we went out there and there was sunshine and some snowfall all at the same time. We saw some wildlife from, what did Dan see? He saw,
what were they, like prairie dogs?
Prairie dogs, that's right. So prairie dogs, horses.
Horses. I think they saw coyotes or
yeah,
something.
Coyotes.
Coyotes. Yeah.
So yeah. I was busy driving. Other people got to sightsee. But once you're up there, I will say this. If Emily already said it, I apologize. But altitude was a struggle.
The whole week.
The whole week, yeah. It was so we stayed at a place with three floors. And if you had the pleasure of going all the way down,
which is where my room was,
you had the privilege of coming back up the steps. And a lot of times when people would get to the top of the steps, the huffing and the puffing was
I thought I was
evident.
Having an asthma attack.
Yes. So just something, you know, that comes with the territory.
It sounds like tall people problems. Yes. I think I'd be just fine down here. Now Emily's shaking her head.
But when we got out there, I will say that, you know, skiing is an interesting sport because you can have a lot of fun if you know what you're doing. I personally kept it very simple so that I wouldn't break a leg. And, every chance you got, depending on how the sun and the clouds hit the mountains, you got a different view every second. So great way to appreciate a week's vacation, a lot of activity. That's what I like, activity. I'm not very good at sitting around doing nothing. So that was a good trip.
Yeah, Robert is definitely not a good bored traveler. He is needing activities, that's for sure. So sounds like you guys had a nice time. Glad you all got to go and do that, especially because your families went with you and things, and you got to spend some time with your kids too, Robert. I know that's always nice. Steven, you were here. I was here in the building, but I was recovering from not being here the week before. So you were basically on your own last week.
Yeah, it was, you know, trying to hold the fort down while the crew took a break. And it was, fortunately, it didn't get too crazy, but it was very busy.
Yeah.
It was definitely very busy. Got a lot of stuff done, though. And it's the work is still continuing.
Yeah, he was aging rapidly, guys. It was like I was watching his beard grow. It looked like a time-lapse video, but it was happening in real time. That's how much stress he was under.
Poor guy.
No, but you know what? It's sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles, so to speak. You know, life throws some curveballs at us. I happened to be out at a time when you guys planned to be out, and I wasn't planning to be out, but I had to be out. So that's just the way it went down, and, you know, right when I came back, you guys left, and it just feels like we haven't seen each other for a month, but here we are. But no, it's nice to be back. I've had a couple on my side as far as work goes. I've had some nice installs these past couple of days. I've had a corporate office added an amenity that installed this week, and I also had a new multifamily, both properties in northern D.C., so they're going to be going up. You'll be seeing some pictures and some fly-through videos next week. And then we have two more installs of new spaces next week. So it's really starting to ramp up over here in new development land. And we're really excited about that. So just keep an eye out on socials for content about the new projects, posting and things. It's going to be really, really cool. So I thought it was nice you know, that we could dive in briefly, you know, on the heels of our conversation last time we talked, which was about the different types of strength training equipment. Steven, do you remember the two types that we talked about?
We talked about
the... I'll give you a hint. It's not the easy kind and the hard kind.
You talking about like the dumbbells, the free weights versus cable?
Yeah,
cable selectorized training, versus selectorized. Free, yeah.
Yeah, I like to test the memories of the team here from time to time. But no, yeah, we talked about strength training, and that's probably the most conventional form of strength training that has been, I would say, especially in the multifamily world, right? It really was cable-driven, selectorized stuff pretty exclusively for a while. Free weights have become more common and more in demand now as properties have gotten more comfortable with having those weights and things in the gyms. But there is like a third type. I'm always hesitant to call it strength training, but I do feel like it kind of falls into the category of strength. It's about being strong in the way you move about your activities and the things that you're doing. And I thought it would be good to kind of discuss that on the heels of having discussed the other two. So Emily, Robert asked you to do a little research about it ahead of time, but I thought it'd be cool maybe for you to introduce that. So we talked last week about selectorized strength equipment, and then we talked a little bit about free weight strength equipment. So maybe, you know, aside from cardio, what's this other type of, you know, equipment or training that you might see in a space?
So functional training is very simple, but very popular. And so we're going to touch on that a little bit. And this article that I looked up breaks it down for us. So it says that, you know, functional exercises are so important because they help you perform everyday activities. And they tend to use movement patterns that mimic how you naturally move. It also goes on to say that it helps if when you do functional training, it improves your speed, your muscular strength, power, balance, and agility. And then also it says that you focus on compound exercises a type of exercise that recruits multiple multiple muscles and joints together. So, like when you perform a squat, your hip, your knee, and your ankle joints work together to perform that movement. And so that's, you don't need a lot of equipment, which is the beautiful thing. And you can do it and perform these exercises really anywhere, anytime, and using really any type of equipment that is available. And so that's why functional training is so good for us, but also why it's such a neat thing to have the accessories for in a fitness center.
So that was a really nice summary of that. And, you know, you, as you mentioned, you don't need a ton of equipment for it. You might see some of what we talked about in a functional fitness application. Like you might see a lower weight dumbbell be used in some sort of a functional fitness style workout or something along those lines. I think about the FitBench product that we sell, which is oriented toward functional, you know, fitness. One of the products that it includes in its inventory is, you know, some lower weight dumbbell ranges. But, you know, there are, you know, a lot of benefits to having that type of equipment in your space. Sometimes it can be done in a way that isn't super beneficial, and sometimes it's done in a way that is very beneficial. So you might not necessarily need a lot of equipment, Robert, to be able to set up a functional fitness space. But what do you need in order to facilitate functional fitness training? If it beyond equipment.
So I think what you're...
What might you need?
Sometimes I think he's going to finish my sentence. Well,
well, you see. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we have this discussion a lot, is that you need proper space. And not only do you need proper space for the equipment, but we've talked about this in other episodes about the active work, active footprint of the piece of equipment. So I'm scrolling through, and you talk about things like jump squats, push-ups, jumping jacks. These are things where a user is going to try to stay in the same space, but depending on how tired or fatigued they may become, they're going to start moving around a certain area. So you want to make sure there's enough space. We talked earlier, the worst space in the world to put someone is in the tightest of corners. Mm-hmm. That's not, it's not a showpiece. It's why it's called functional, meaning there's a lot going on. And so when you get to these racks, like the one we have here in the showroom on display by Torque, you get the, something like that. There's a lot of things they can use from that rack, and then they grab what they need, and then they perform their exercises, but they need the room to do it and to do it safely.
Absolutely. And the room is really critical. And that's what I was thinking about, you know, because it's probably one of the more faster growing training trends is functional fitness. It's not like when I go into most multifamily spaces right now, it's not uncommon to find that maybe one of the places that's most likely to be in use when I go in is maybe that small area off to the side where somebody can grab a few accessories and go over there and have their little space in their workout. And they're usually doing functional style workouts. And that's because, people don't have a lot of time these days to spend in the gym. The days of going in and doing the 2-hour deltoid and lat exclusive workout, you know, that people used to do, is it's hard to find time for that. So people are really concerned with moving, how they move, moving about in a healthy way, and staying active and fit. So that's why functional fitness is so appealing, because it kind of allows for people to get that work in quickly and achieve some results that are going to apply day to day. But if you don't have the right setup, it just ends up being either clunky. I always joke and say sometimes it can become like a glorified coat hanger or coat rack, because it just ends up being a catch-all for all the things down in the gym that, that maybe aren't getting used. And so I guess maybe to highlight, you know, what, and maybe we can all just take a stab at anyone that wants to, like, what are the types of things that you might, accessories or equipment-wise, that you may find in a functional fitness setup? I know I mentioned the dumbbells, but maybe somebody else. Steven?
Most commonly, especially in like Torque rigs, you'll see kettlebells, very popular in the functional fitness aspect of that world. You'll have stretch bands.
Oh, actually, pause right there. Yeah. When you said kettlebells, like, what's a person generally going to do with a kettlebell? Like, you know, workout wise, are they going to be in a space where they are in a you know, I'm using a dumbbell workout, right? For instance, I'm going to do some dumbbell curls. I'm going to do an overhead press. I'm pretty much in a contained space. Mm-hmm. What's the reality of a kettlebell workout?
You definitely need space for that.
Right.
I mean, it requires space because you're swinging a kettlebell or you're doing lunges with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just, you're definitely moving around a lot more to get the full range of use of the kettlebell.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to kind of just tap into that because my first thought is that's one of the most common things I see is people are like, oh, I got a gym. What's popular? Kettlebells are popular. But if you're going to just throw them into a space without having space that allows them to be used properly, maybe you just shouldn't have kettlebells, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so these things are good additions. They're good things to think about, but you need to think about how they're going to be used and not just how they're going to look sitting on a shelf necessarily. But Stephen, you know, go ahead. You were talking about some more of the items.
Yeah. And well, to your point with the kettlebells, like if you do have the space and you offer the kettlebells, having kettlebells, it opens up so many different types of exercises for people. And it's a popular trend right now. You know, a lot of trainers, a lot of YouTube trainers, they train and they show people how to do different types of workouts, upper body, lower body, arms, everything, whatever it is, dozens of exercises for kettlebells. So you appeal to a lot of people if you have the space and you offer that kettlebell type of functionality. We also have those suspension training ropes, yep. TRX, you know, those are very popular. There's rigs that support that as well. Like I said, stretch bands, slam balls, medicine balls. Mm-hmm. Those are just one of many different types of functional training accessories, exercises that you can have in a space that, you know, if you have it, those are good to have.
Now, you pretty much hit on most of the core items that I was thinking of, but as you were going down that list of things, I couldn't help but think about the fact that all of those items, they require you to be moving to get the most out of them. You're not going to be standing there doing some very static medicine ball, you know, curl with the ball or something. You wouldn't do it. All those exercises are going to be more dynamic. You're going to be reaching. You're going to be squatting. You're going to be maybe jumping. And all of that is going to just require, you know, some space. So you've heard us mention it before on, you know, previous episodes where we talk about space planning. There are people out there, and it has been the mindset in the past to like load these gyms up with equipment, like just as much stuff as you can get in there. It'll look like a fitness center. Everyone will love it, you know, and oftentimes it just ends up not being functional. So Robert, I know you mentioned like those racks or rigs being potentially installed or shoved into a corner. A lot of times, these racks, in addition to holding accessories, they'll have like different attachment points on them around the edges or the side or the frame. What are those types of things typically used to attach for? I'm not talking about the pulleys. I'm talking about maybe like on the side where you might look like a plyo or something. Like, you know, what are some of those other things?
Again, he's finished my sentence for me, but yes, there are.
I'm asking questions that are kind of weird. I'm trying to not like totally throw you guys out there.
Depending on the product, you have the ability to clip on, to your point, a plyo box. You can even put, I'm thinking of some of the things that even our friends at Prism Fitness make available. Ball targets are one. So again, when putting the piece of equipment into the room, you have to notice, okay, so what can this particular product do and where is it best placed in order to get the full purpose of it kind of used. So again, if you're clipping on a plyo box, well, then you're going to need to have enough room behind, because what do people do? Well, they jump on these things. Yep. So they need the ability to do that and then to come off of that. You know, what's the safety zone once you come off of that? So we've been in some rooms where, you know, the equipment has been placed. Now, we don't know why it's placed in the areas that it is. We just know that when we go in and you see it, you see there's no way to use that particular exercise safely because it's been placed too close to the wall or maybe even too close to a water fountain, whatever the case. Yeah. So it has to be well thought out. But I wanted to jump on what Steven said, because in our area of expertise, we are working with, generally, we're working with smaller rooms. For me personally, I'm working with something that's already, the room has already been put together. There's already existing equipment, and now I'm asking the client to refresh the room to bring more appeal to the room. And functional training is one of the ways that I do it. And I do it because if you don't have the space and you try to achieve that with selectorized equipment, you're only going to get one or two exercises in the room. And as Steven mentioned, if you have, you know, slam balls, medicine balls, stretch bands, kettlebells, dumbbells on one rack, the amount of, and maybe a bench, let's throw in a bench, the amount of exercises you can perform are endless. And you also appeal to a wider range of people. So you go from young, who might lift a little more or be a little more agile, to something as simple as, and I just wanted to note this in an article about functional training, is that if you do have one's residents, users who are up in age, a simple body weight squat is beneficial for something as simple as someone elderly getting in and out of a chair. So functional fitness carries a large age group and can accomplish a lot. And that's why we lean to that when we have a small room and we're trying to accomplish a lot, because the demographic is very wide.
Yeah, that was a really good point. You know, helping to appeal to a wide range of people. That is a huge benefit of functional fitness. I remember there's these YouTube creators, and sometimes they do these different things where, like, they'll do, one of the guys I follow will do, I'm going to do X professional's workout today. So maybe it's, I'm going to do LeBron James's workout, or I'm going to do so-and-so's workout. And he was doing one time, it was like a Tom Brady's workout. This was closer to the end of Tom Brady's career. So not old, but by football age, he was getting older. And at that point, he wasn't really doing much weight training anymore. Like, you know, he was going, the creator that I was watching was going through the workout, and he wasn't like, Tom Brady was still hitting the bench press and doing all the heavy weightlifting that he may have done early in his career. Most of his work was like functional fitness stuff. He was doing a lot with resistance bands, lateral movements, trying to keep himself flexible, mobile, because as you get older, that's kind of what you lose first, is like your bounce back game. You know, it's like you can't do all of the things you used to. When I go out and play like football with my kid and his friends, I feel like I can still do all the things, but like I can't stop doing them. That's the problem. It's like I start moving in one direction and I don't have that agility or that mobility to kind of like stop my movement as much as I used to. So, you know, your needs change as you get older. I thought that was a good point. Yeah. Functional fitness is a way especially for older clients or older residents to stay active and healthy in a way that's going to benefit them, to your point, in their day-to-day activities. These rigs are really cool, right? And like they come in different configurations. They come in some that are meant to be on the wall. They come that are like double-sided, that can be in the center of a room. They have corner configurations. So really what you just need is a partner that understands what you're trying to achieve and is going to help take the time to pick the right product, because I've recently been out to a couple sites and I've seen, you know, things like 360-degree stations installed in a corner where two-thirds of it are obstructed by walls and things, and there's like a rope pull station on the back that nobody can even get to, and there's a plyo step that nobody can jump on, and it's like, you know, okay, what are you doing these things for? We're not just here to spend money, and we're not making, I think, Robert, you mentioned it's not a showpiece or a piece of decoration. Like, these have a purpose, and, you know, you may inadvertently, by putting something in the wrong place, somebody may get back into there and try to mess around with it, and you could inadvertently have set somebody up for an accident or an injury or something as well. So that was something that I thought of, and I've just seen these things happen. So, you know, Robert, you mentioned the Torque partnership that we have. They're obviously a great partner. They have different configurations and things that can help to go into that. We have some other partners that have some functional fitness pieces. Steven, I see your hand up.
Yeah, just to kind of, I wanted to touch base a little bit about the uniqueness of those rigs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're definitely, especially in new facilities, New construction, and even if you're doing full remodels and stuff in the fitness centers, and if you can fit a nice functional rig, they tend to be statement makers and showpiecers, because when leasing agents take potential clients to the fitness center, it's going to be one of the first things they see. Mm-hmm. And if done right and spec'd correctly, that will last a good while, and make a good impression for years to come.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point too. I mean, they are definitely statement pieces. They're going to be eye catching, kind of to the point of why you want to make sure you're doing them correctly, because they can also be an eyesore. And in a lot of cases, they end up being that. They end up being an eyesore because mm-hmm. they're just like eating the room alive. Like, they take up just too much space, and it makes the room feel like you can't move around in it, or you can't do anything in it, or in some cases it can just be not functional enough because of the layout. But I think, to your point, if you get the right configuration, you get the right setup, they really can be the kind of thing on a tour that's going to really catch somebody's attention and start helping them to picture themselves working out in that gym, which is ultimately what's going to help them to want to sign that lease. So that's the name of the game when it comes to that. But yeah, I mean, I was just thinking too about one of the nice things about functional fitness. You know, you could have, obviously there's accessories that come along with that. That's the one of the common pieces of equipment. But there are some like more formal equipment types. One of my favorite that we installed recently at an outdoor area for functional was the Tire Flip 180 product. It's kind of another one of those statement pieces that you mentioned. You really do kind of one or two very unique things with it. You flip the tire. You can also use it as a plyo step or a plyo jump. I use that. It's kind of like a combo workout. I flip it, and then I jump on it, and I flip it, and I jump on it. And I kind of like do a little combo of strength and cardio and plyo together. But those are really nice things. And again, those are the types of things where if you have space and you set them up right, someone's going to see it on a tour, and it's going to help them make that memory. It's going to help them to see themselves there. But I had another question I was going to ask. And I can't remember. Oh, maintenance-wise. Steven, maybe what's another advantage of functional equipment versus some of the other types of equipment, like when it comes to maintenance and repair?
Yeah, good question. When it comes to maintenance, there's really not a ton to do. It's essentially just verifying that the bolts are tight, nothing's getting loose when things get used. And in reality, the only thing you monitor is the accessories. Once they start to wear down, you replace them. So, you know, even though these types of products offer a lot of different types of options for workouts, whereas like elliptical or a bike are kind of like one-sided, and then they eventually, you know, if it gets heavy usage, they'll require extensive repair. Whereas this, it can withstand some decent amount of usage, and then when you replace the accessories, it's like you're getting a fresh gym all over again.
Yep.
And people love that too.
Yeah. And that was what I was going to mention, was that the biggest concern is just refreshing the equipment as the need arises. The accessories in particular, if they begin to wear out, look worn, look unclean, or look unsafe in any way, that's obviously a time that you want to replace them. But then, Emily, I see your hand.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Cut me off.
I was just also thinking, not only is it easy to replace, you know, there's no electrical components that are expensive repairs or anything like that, but when you do invest, if a property manager does invest in this and does, invest in a space for this, it is not a fad workout, and it appeals to all age groups. So it's not something that's really popular right now, and then next year it's going to be on to something else.
Yep.
This is, you know, long-lasting. This is what everyone needs to be doing. It's beneficial for all age groups.
Yep. And then a lot of times, to your exact point, a lot of those functional fitness workouts and accessories, they supplement what people are already trying to do. So if you have people using free weights, well, guess what? You probably have them thinking about maybe trying to use the resistance bands to add some resistance to their free weight training, because that's what's common right now. People that are doing strength training, you're going to see them trying to loop bands around the peg holders on the half rack and things. So by having all of these things, you're also going to be supporting the workouts that people are already doing. And the functional fitness stuff, to your point, is not a fad. It's simple. And when you do need to refresh those accessories, that's a time when you can just evaluate, like, what are my people using? What are they not using? Maybe what would be something to add right now? You know, do we need to get more strength loops? Oh, we maybe should add some speed ropes, whatever it might be. And then a lot of times, too, they come with these universal attachment points on them where you can, like, maybe if there is a fad that comes around and you do need to appeal to that for a certain reason, well, you can put a heavy bag on a torque rig. You know, you can add that combat training. That's a really easy add. It's another form of functional training. So, you know, there's versatility that comes along with it. They can be reconfigured in some cases, especially if you find a non-bolt-down configuration. You can move it around your room if the need arises. So I think that these are really these are all really good points. And I think that from a maintenance point standpoint, even if you had to replace all your accessories every year, it wouldn't even be that big of a deal financially, and you would be still, you'd have that fresh presentation, and it would be showing in a really good way all the time. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge one or two of the common drawbacks, right? So if you have these functional rigs and you have a bunch of bands and rollers and ab wheels and jump ropes and mats and things, and nobody from your property ever goes in there and checks on things, Emily, what's going to happen after a couple of days or weeks?
Well, I'm thinking two scenarios. All those things could be all over the floor, or they could be walked out of the gym.
Yeah, she hit both two of the three major concerns that I was going to address, which was that they tend to get, when we set it up, it's going to look great. When Tim and Tony and Jen and whoever else from your community come down and start grabbing things, throwing them in the corners and just tossing them back on the shelves, if you all at your property didn't take some time to understand how it was supposed to look, you can't return it to that state. After a certain point, it's going to start to look a little crazy. And if you only have RMS coming once, every quarter, we're going to tidy up a little bit as part of what we do. But, you know, 99 times out of 10, that's not going to keep it looking as good as you're going to want it to look, for sure. Robert, thievery is a thing, right? Emily mentioned that. Can't avoid that subject, but what's the common case, especially when it comes to lightweight or small objects?
Well, Steve, we do live in a world where, unfortunately, those things can happen. But for another episode, maybe we could talk about having a security camera in the facility.
Yeah.
But yep. But yeah, that is
armed,
you
know, guard.
That
dogs.
Is something. No, I'm just kidding. But I will say that for the most part. If it's kept neat and it's organized, it's less likely to leave.
Yep.
But if it's not, then you will run the chance that is going to happen to you. But to your point earlier, if it's cleaned well, it presents well. So if you stay on top of it, it's an excellent piece. I think it draws more attention, honestly, when you see something outfitted like that than if you just had a simple multi-station gym in your facility. It's not going to have the same appeal. So that's why we are very pro-functional here when it comes to refreshing rooms or even from new construction standpoint.
No, you know what? I think that you've pretty much kind of touched on all the key points there. And, you know, it really does add something nice if it's done well and it's done properly. And you know, as far as your space will dictate how much you of your room you commit to that. You know, if you have a small configuration or small space, maybe you can only support a small amount of it. But to your point, if it's done right, if it's maintained well, you've made a point that I've kind of hypothesized about in the past, but I think if you're a property that sets the tone that you care and that you're invested in what's happening in the fitness center, and that when they come into the property or residence or their guests come in and they see that you appear to be on top of things, that they're less likely to probably disrespect your space by taking from it, because they're going to appreciate what you're doing and it's going to create that overall culture. Now, you're always going to have the people that just don't care and they see something that they can make free and they'll take it, but that's just part of the world we live in. But I don't think it should discourage anybody from taking on functional fitness. I think that even replacing things that might go missing, it's really no more or less expensive than the likely repairs you're going to have just maintaining any other piece of equipment throughout a year.
Agreed.
And then I guess the third concern would be the inclination that often exists for people to cut corners when it comes to those items in particular with quality. You've typically invested many multiples of thousands of dollars into the fitness equipment in your facility. It would be a shame at that point to water down the final result of your space by picking up a bunch of accessories and things that are just either improperly rated, low value, going to be unsafe for use in your facility, or otherwise just bring down the final level. So I would say that was probably the third major concern, is that it just seems like they pop up out of the ground, or I don't know if it's like the residents bring them or where they come from, but you, as a room exists for 6 months or a year, all of a sudden you get the Amazon mats and the Amazon rollers and yoga blocks and stray gloves start showing up and all kinds of weird things that just don't belong there. So again, if you know what's supposed to be in the gym and those things start popping up, you should be removing them. You don't want that improperly rated or unsanitary or just maybe even potentially dangerous equipment taking hold in your facility. So those would be what I would think would be the drawbacks, but they're all manageable. And I think the benefits of having functional fitness in your space far outweigh any of the drawbacks, especially if you can do it in a way that's safe and appealing. Steven left. I don't know where he went, guys. He had to go deal with something.
Yeah, he had a call.
But I think that that's basically about all we have for that subject. Robert, fearless leader, plans for the weekend? Anything exciting going on in Deckerland?
I have a lot of painting to do.
Painting? Oh, that's right. That's right. He's got a lot of painting to do, folks. So if anyone wants to help Robert paint, his number is 41. I'm just
1-800.
No, but there is a lot of things going on here, man. But I really can't overstate how excited I am that the weather is improving. I don't think I acknowledge how much I hate winter. I think I like to try to fake it like I don't, but I think I really hate winter time. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to come to grips with that, because as soon as the sun comes out, I'm like, yo, let's go. Life is good again. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for all of that. But Emily, how about you? What's up in Vinos World this weekend?
Nothing much.
Liar. No. There's always something going on.
No. Not really. So we'll be just chill.
I bet so. You've had a busy couple weeks. You probably are ready to kind of lay low and hang out here. Robert's hand is back up.
Yeah, we didn't mention that we had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Leg and Norman allowed us to come to their conference, what they call it, a boot camp.
It was like a boot camp, board training and expo.
So that was on the Eastern Shore in Maryland. Actually, wasn't Maryland. It was Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. My apologies. So we went there and enjoyed meeting some of the staff there that really made some nice comments regarding us helping them in that area. There's not a lot of support in that area from our industry. So it was nice. Got a chance to meet several people.
Got to meet, and a shout out to Jacqueline Kite. We finally got to meet her face to face.
And their business director, do you recall her name?
Leanne. I'm having a hard time remembering the last name, but okay. Leanne.
Rhymes.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. No copyright.
So it was a nice, so we forgot to mention that. So yeah, very busy. And then, I don't know if this will be posted by the time, but we're attending
a Dover, a trade show in Dover. I can't remember the name of it right now.
The Delaware Apartment Association.
Yeah.
The Delaware Dover Department Depreciation.
Down to D.O.
The D.O.
So we will be there next week representing RMS Fitness as we continue to make people aware that we are out there for anyone who might not know that we're out there.
And we're out there, folks. We're coming for everybody. We're coming for every... No, I'm
just... We're coming for you.
No, but I will be in Richmond next week one day, and then the very next day I will be in... Oh, sorry. Flip that. I will be in New Jersey one day next week, and then the very next day in Richmond, Virginia. So I'm coming all over the place next week. I'm going to be up north, down south. I'm everywhere. So if you need to see me, talk to me in 2 weeks when I'm back to not being everywhere. Steven, you're back. How'd it go?
I'm back.
Tech support of DO?
Yeah, it went well.
Ah, yes. He had to step out. Sometimes, guys.
Had to put a cape on and
when the team on the road needs assistance, there's nobody that has their back better than Steven. I got your back, DO. What you up to this weekend, man? Anything special?
Chilling in bourbon.
Chilling in bourbon.
Chilling in bourbon. Like a whole tub? Like just chilling in it?
Yeah. Yeah. Put the kidneys to work.
No, that sounds great. I hope that goes well for you.
That's another type of functional
That's
training.
Another type of functional
Responsibly,
training.
Of course.
I've been working on some kidney functional training this
weekend. That's a good one. Kidney functional training.
No, but on that note, I hope that you all have a great weekend. Again, as always here from RMS Fitness, we're grateful for everyone that has listened to the last 39 minutes and 55 seconds of our talking. If you have found this episode to be educational, informative, or maybe even entertaining, we ask that you would just share it with one of your colleagues, friends, or coworkers who might benefit from a little bit of the information and education that we share here on Everyone Needs a Spotter. I am Steve Heitzer, your lean, mean hosting machine, joined as always by Steven Donadio.
Steve the Don Donadio.
Whatever you say, man. Emily Vino's little wipey.
Yo.
Have a good one, Em. Robert, fearless leader.
Yes, sir. Maybe I'll have more energy for you next week, Steve.
Please.
I assume you will. I assume you will after a long weekend of rest and relaxation with your family, which is obviously what you're up to, and nothing at all that will be stressful or difficult. I hope that you have a great one, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Adios.
Bye.